Hello and welcome to Tell It From Calvary, coming to you from Calvary Baptist Church right here in New York City, Gotham, the Big Apple, the city that never sleeps. I'm Mike Luciano, the executive pastor here at Calvary, and I have the privilege of serving in this evangelical, diverse, and global congregation. The mission of our church is to engage the city and impact the world with the message of Jesus Christ by making disciples, fully devoted followers of Him from every nation. For more information about our church and ways for you to worship, to connect, and serve with us, check out our website, cbcnyc.org. That's cbcnyc.org. Click Contact Us at the bottom of the homepage to let us know that you're listening. You could also download our messages free of charge on our website. Hey, next time you're in New York, drop by. We'd love to meet you in person. But for now, let's get into today's message. And they had had a hard day fishing. Have you ever had a hard day fishing? I've only had hard days fishing, so I don't know anything else. I have a picture in my office of the one fish I caught with each son. And I feel like I've done my dad duty, okay? But beyond that, my record's not good. So I sympathize here. They haven't found anything. They haven't brought anything in. And Jesus says an interesting phrase here in chapter 5, verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Master, there is great difficulty here. But at your word, I will let down the nets. You hear it again? But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I believe that's the idea that's going on for the centurion as well. Lord, you're a God of great power. I'll be obedient to your word, but I am not worthy. Humility is the starting point here for the humble faith. Here's the way I define humility here in this text. It's this idea that of healthy sense of who we are, where we stand, and how much we need Jesus. That's the starting of humble faith. A healthy sense of who we are, where we stand in our need, and how much we need Jesus. We don't presume that he comes to our aid, but we humbly recognize how far short we fall and how much we need him. We ask that he might have the resources to come and meet us where we're at. Have you ever been at a point of desperation where all you could do is say, I can't do it anymore. I need help. Just this week, our elder Scott referenced it earlier with my boys, I believe that God gives you the people in your life to not just for you to love them and serve them, but also for God to reveal truth about himself to you. And I'm always praying every day, Lord, give me eyes to see what you're trying to teach me. And so I've been thinking about this text for a while, and I've been thinking about what it means, God, to trust you and what it means to be humble before you and what it means to honestly say, God, I'm not worthy. I need help. I can't go forward. This past week, my son took out his Lego set that we've been working on for a long time. Okay, at Christmas, we bought him a 1,400-piece Star Wars Star Destroyer spaceship. I said it right. He'll make sure I did. He told me I could share this with you. 1,400 pieces. Okay, and so he started building it. But early on, once he had started the process, you know, these pieces are all over, you know. He had his little cousins, his little 3-year-old and 4-year-old cousin over the house. And they got into his Legos for this set. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so they got into his Legos for this set, and this group of 100 that was supposed to make a portion of the ship got mixed up and spread amongst the other 1,000 or 2,000 or so Lego pieces that he has. And so for months I've been saying, when are you going to finish this Lego set? And he's been saying, I can't do it. So then I, in good fatherly fashion, said to him, do you know how much that Lego set was? Kind of lost the Christmas spirit four months later, you know. You know, finish that set. And for 6 months, he's been saying to me, the kid, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the pieces. And so last Monday, it was the day. And we spread out on the floor in his bedroom every Lego piece he has. I stepped on two or three. I did not say anything inappropriate when I did. And for 2 hours, we weeded through those Lego pieces to find the exact little ones he needed. Do you know what I'm saying? It was a long day. My wife found several under the radiator. I don't know how they got there. And at the end of the day, he said to me, I told you, I couldn't do it. We do that with the Lord, don't we? We come to him and we think, you know, Lord, maybe I could do it on my own. But it comes real quick to our attention that unless he intervenes, we can't go forward. The centurion demonstrates for us this humble faith when we recognize how far short we fall, when we recognize our own unworthiness before him, and when we come to God to intervene on our behalf, it is his joy and his pleasure to do so. What overwhelms you this morning? What has caused you this morning to feel at a place of unworthiness before God? Do you have humble faith? Like the centurion, will you trust him? But we go on in the text because it doesn't just end with this aspect of him saying, I am unworthy. Look what it says back in chapter 7 of Luke, beginning in verse 7. He says through his emissaries that are sent on his behalf, therefore I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be. There's the second phrase. Say the word. I am unworthy, but Jesus, say the word. And then the centurion goes on with this minor to major argument that he lays out for Jesus. He says, I'm a man that understands authority. I know what power is about. I say to this person, go there, and he does it. I say to this one, come, and he comes. And even this servant that I love and that is dear before me, this one that I care about, he is a servant. And when I tell him to do something, he does it. And the centurion before Jesus says, I know that this is how you work, that you are a person of authority, of power, of ability, of competence, of strength. And the centurion says, this struggle, this difficulty, this chasm that I can't get past, I'm asking you simply, say the word and it could be done. What faith, what trust to recognize Jesus as Lord. And look in the text here, the key is even that he doesn't even ask Jesus to come to the house. Remember, he thinks himself too unworthy to have this great teacher in his house. He doesn't even ask him to come and do a ceremony and lay hands or do something by spitting in the ground and making mud and putting it in the eyes. I mean, Jesus does all of these in-person type of works in his life and in his ministry. But the faith of the centurion is, Jesus, just say the word. That you are not confined by space and distance, but that you're able in your power to do it from wherever you are at. Amen. I can't believe a more applicable point for us. We don't need Jesus literally, physically returned in this room for him to come and to meet our deepest needs. That he is not confined by space and time, but that God works throughout the world in powerful, amazing ways through Jesus. Will you trust him? Do you trust him for this? In the text, Jesus is amazed. It says that Jesus can't believe this wonderful faith of the centurion, and he says, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. In verse 10, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant, they found him well. Notice what's missing. The centurion says, say the word. Does Jesus say a word to heal him? Jesus doesn't even need to utter words in order for his power and his authority to take effect. Do you hear me this morning? That Jesus is so other than and more powerful than that his power and his authority are not limited through even him uttering literally words on his lips to make his will come to pass. That God in Jesus as Lord of all is powerful to act in ways that are beyond our ability to even comprehend and appreciate. And this same Jesus sees you and me and can act the same way. Now notice, he doesn't presume it, he doesn't assume it, he doesn't name it and claim it and make it happen, but he trusts Jesus, humbly saying, I'm not worthy, but acknowledging, say the word and your power can be seen. You know, oftentimes we struggle with texts like this when we think about power and authority. Many of us have seen power and authority abused and used in our life in ways that have caused us harm. Perhaps some of us here this morning have experienced that in our childhood and in the families that we've grown up in. Perhaps some of us have experienced that in our workplace, in our careers, or perhaps in the place in academia where we work or go to school. Or perhaps some of us have seen even on national levels or on local levels in government and the way it was administered, abuse of power and the use of authority to hurt and to diminish and to bring down. So when we come to a text like this, we have to make sure we stop and remember that the authority that Jesus has is given humbly and gently with grace and power. Not to abuse and hurt, but to lift up and help. You know that famous phrase, about power by Lord Acton. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely, right? And the end of that line is that great men are almost always bad men. It's interesting, the context for that original quote in the late 19th century is this journalist and writer talking about abuses in power in the church and how it was used and wielded to hurt and to harm. But we don't approach Jesus with the same way. His power and authority is not meant to hurt, it's to help. ¶¶